It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid. Again, here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from the BEA Beautiful Studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, here in Phoenix, Arizona, where it's a very nice weather. It's a very nice. It's under 100 degrees. Yay. You know, this is interesting weather we're having. It's cool. I mean, the middle of May, and, man, we're usually hitting 100-degree weather by now. And I'm global warming. Well, today it's just going to be me and you. And I want to give out the number. I want to give you an opportunity to have a conversation because the morning show today, we talked about the economy and had Jack Gregson, our columnist at Freedom's Phoenix, and he scared us. And it's way as bad as they say it is. It's worse than that. And there's something coming. And I want to talk about us surviving this. Because what needs to survive, it's more than just, us surviving. I mean, we actually keep breathing in and out. I mean, you know, the people were breathing in and out in the movie 1984. But that, is that living? So I want to talk about you and I. Let me give out the number. 866-986-6397. 866-986-NEWS. It's important to me that you understand where we're at. I just left New York City this weekend. My wife and I spent some time there with some activists, and we were distributing newspapers on the subway. And we were talking about just the fear. And I want to share this with you so you understand my perspective. There's way too much fear, even activists that know what they're up against. I think if we had the more information that we have, the less fear we have. So I don't share all this stuff that's going on with you to scare you, just to inform you. I'll give you an example. If you have news of earthquakes around the world, tsunamis, you have a meteor landing, aliens come in from Alpha Centauri spaceship, blah, blah, blah. You know, the more distant it is, the more around the world it is, the more that it's removed from you, you know, less fear you have. You know, a lot of times they have to make it local. You know, you got to be feared in your community. It's happening right around the corner. And what issues do that? Whatever those issues are, they're coming. When we go to distribute information around, so they a lot of times they want to make you afraid. You're not if you do this without staying in your free speech zone, you're going to go to jail. If you do this without the permission slip, you're going to go to jail. If you do this without, I'm like, yeah, cool. You know, all right. They go, Ernie, if you do it this way on the subways with the papers, you're not supposed. You're gonna go to jail. All right, fine. I'll have my plane leave, midday on Tuesday. I'll probably give me enough time to get out of jail, which is why we scheduled it that way. You got to prepare for it. And what are they going to get you for? You know, how much you always know what the risk is. What's the charge? How long can they hold you? What's the fine? What will you be charged with? Is it a felony, a misdemeanor? Is it just a violation of an ordinance, so respect my authority because I can't? You know, what will they confiscate? What do you take with you? What's your right? I mean, you need to be informed enough to understand what your risks are, but you got to balance the benefit. if you avoid cuts and bruises, you're never going to get anywhere. What we're going to do today is there the article that I wrote a long time ago, and it was really, I just ripped it off of an author that's a libertarian novelist that had in one of his books, in each chapter, he had like little sayings in there. And he compiled them into one big long, and I picked the ones that I enjoyed the most, that I got the most out of, that reflect the kind of activism that we do. And I wrote a column for a newspaper here called the Sonoran News, that's a popular paper in Northeast Valley here in Cave Creek, Carefree, kind of a, you know, North Scottsdale area up there. And I used to write for them as a regular columnist for a long time. And they introduced myself so that they understood where I was coming from. I wrote this one article, and it's been very popular. And it comes back to me on the internet on a regular basis, and we're going to go over it today. But I'll tell you why I included that as my submission for the newspaper that we distributed in New York City. It was because I could sense this dread, this fear, when you really should be embracing the opportunity to educate people when they want the information. When they are most affected by everything that's going on, that they need some kind of a direction, a light, a beacon. Well, you can give a word picture, you know, something like, the Statue of Liberty. You know, she's got her light up there saying, yo, what's up over here? Being that torch is what is referred to. Albert Nock wrote a column, oh man, must have been 70 years ago. And it was called Isaiah's Job. And if you Google, so I put it up on today's archive show because it really had a big impact on a lot of people. And when the first time that I read it, I was really impressed with it. And what he was saying was, in the Bible, Isaiah, the prophet, and he was told by God to, you know, go out and, you know, preach to the remnant. You hear Dr. Paul was going on about that. Well, how much of the remnant is left? The remnant this, the remnant that. This is the passage that he was referring to. What God was saying, he was going, look, when you go out and you're preaching to the choir, okay, you hear that, well, you can't, you know, you're just preaching to the choir. Or sometimes the choir needs preaching too, you know. And what Isaiah was like, look, I don't want to do this. We're in bad shape. There is opposition everywhere. You got the king's men looking for, oh, heck no. They want to, you know, put, you know, the left jackboot or the right jackboot or the jackboot on your throat party on my neck. And I'm like, you know, hey, I don't want to play. No, you need to go out. Now's the time. Now is the time. We need to develop the remnant. The remnant needs to know that there are other people that think as they do. They need to, you know, be consolidated and comforted and that they're right. You know, somebody needs to inspire the remnant. Isaiah's like, nah, I'm not up to that. No, I'm gonna go hide from God. So he goes off and so on. And of course, you know, God shows up and, hey, what's up, man? Didn't I tell you to go? Yeah, but I don't. Did I or did I not tell you? Okay. So he goes back, and the column that Albert Nock was writing about, he used this as an example of what we need to do, and I'll tell you in contemporary times what it means. A good friend of mine, Mark Victor, is a criminal defense attorney. We'll have him back on the show next week, and he went to New Zealand when we were looking for places to move. We're like, hey, man, we know where this is going. You know, we might just go somewhere else. So we had our Freedom Summit. We'd have individuals come and speak about, you know, going anywhere, you know. And this one gentleman was talking about New Zealand. We have people talk about Costa Rica. We have people talk about building island nations, you know, on shallow water south of the Caymans. I mean, we just, you know, whatever, you know, ships. You know, let's go spaceship. I mean, you know, whatever. You know, I mean, just, you know, can we be free? And if you go somewhere and do it, what kind of government, if any, would you take with you? You know, are you going to have one guy who's like, it's going to be a sovereign principality and I'm king, what you call it. And if you want to come live here, then you're going to be under my rule. All right, well, you know, it might be better than some other things. I mean, this is, you know, the kind of discussions that we have. How many libertarians can dance on a head of a pin? Ooh, you get good conversations with that. So when Mark went to New Zealand, he met some libertarians down there, and he met this old guy that had moved there, and he lived very rural out in a beautiful area overlooking the ocean, and he just wanted to be left alone. He's there, and he said something that really, you know, sparked a lot of debate between Mark and I. And he told him, he said, you know, humanity, I don't think they're ready for freedom right now. He goes, maybe in, you know, a few generations, 100, 200 years, what it will evolve out of, you know, this need to knee-jerk reaction for some kind of government to save us. But maybe we're just not ready. Maybe we need to have some kind of a general epiphany across the planet. Now, this was years ago before the Levolution. That was what he was talking about. That's what he was waiting on. The rise of the remnant. Well, the remnant is rising, but it's in opposition to really bad things that are coming. We're going to talk about, we're going to get deep when we come back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Boston here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona. You know, today I want to talk about method, you know, and just being, if you're going to challenge the cult of the omnipotent state, if you're going to go after this adoration of this all-powerful, we got satellites, what's the mindset you should have? Being really angry and stomping and, you know, poking liberals with, you know, live free or die flags. I mean, you know what? I mean, how do you manifest this? So there's a lot of opportunities that are coming up. And I give you an example. What got me on this was I got a call from WorldNet Daily is putting on an event. It's called Taking America Back. And it's in Miami in mid-September, September 16th to 18th. And they've been leaving a lot of calls for, they want Freedom's Phoenix to participate as an exhibitor and buy packages, and they do it. You know, and finally, I just kind of been blowing them off. You know, I don't want to schedule anything until after we get done with the Libertarian National Convention at the end of the month over Memorial Weekend. I said, call me 1st of June, and they just keep calling. And I go, look, you know, all right, I tell you what, this is what I want to know. If you're going to have WorldNet Daily sponsoring this thing, I just want you to know right off the bat that, you know, we're hardcore libertarian. Oh, yeah, we like libertarian. We want libertarian. That's why we're calling you. Freedom's Phoenix rocks, man. We want it because we put a lot of WorldNet Daily stuff up every now and then, you know, not necessarily because we agree with it. It's just given their perspective and, you know, look what they're saying. And they want us to participate as an exhibitor, of course. They want money. And I'm going, that might be interesting. You know, they're claiming to be 5,000 people there, and you'll have all the neocons and conservatives, Republicans or whatever, and they'll have their, you know, woo-hoo thing. And, of course, it's going to be immigration, and, you know, we hate Democrats. And you know, the first thing they say, oh, you want to be a part of this, man. We got Ann Coulter. You know, we're working on Newt Gingrich. You know, it's going to be Tom Tancredo, Alan Keyes, Jerome Corsi. You know, all the names. And I'm going, ooh, Ann Coulter, yay. I mean, you know, that's your selling point. So I said, if we participate in this, if we're going to be activists in your, you know, little party thing here, we'll saturate it with the Levolution. I want to make sure we're upfront about this. We go to this thing, it's going to be with a package. What does it cost? What's the deal? You know, you get for $9,000, you can have this big 10x10 and then another thing, and you get all your goodies put into the packet that goes to everybody, and you get half-page color kind of whatever, and you get a day. And you get your own, you get 10 people that can go to the event, and you get your own breakout. You get your own room. You can have your own. Okay, how big is it? How many is the seat? How many, you know, what, you know, and it gets to be listed on the program. There's going to, really? Who might I have come speak at your WorldNet Daily Republican Ann Coulter Newt Gingrich thing? What if I invited somebody like Dr. Ron Paul? There'll be more people there to go to the breakout than they will the entire other thing. And he sure as heck will flood over, sponsored by what? You know, Freedom's Phoenix, Declare Your Independence, you know, the LP. I mean, you know, what do I do? So I'm talking to this guy. I mean, he wouldn't let me off the phone for a half hour. And I go, look, we do this. I need you to, I need confirmation. I want to talk to your guys. Or, you know, how high up are you in this thing? Are you just a, you know, a subcontractor? I'll call me. Are you part of WorldNet Daily? Are you taking America Back 2010.com? And then you're kind of coordinating. What's the deal? Because I'm not going to do this unless we're going to own it. We don't do any of these functions unless we own it. It'll be an activist, we own it thing. You know, oh, there's going to be golfing. Do it. Yep. I guarantee, man, there's going to be little stuff hidden around, you know, in the bottom of every golf hole. on tee box. Little Rock's going to say, you know, Revolution on or something. I mean, seriously, that's how we roll. It'll be a saturation effort. That's how we always do it. Be like Searchlight. I go, you want to know what it's going to be like? Go to, you know, watch the Searchlight video. Ooh, we're all over it. So they're, well, yeah, we need to talk about, we love libertarians. We're not, you know, fans of, you know, what's been going on and yada, yada, yada. We want your money. So I'm going, okay, you know, give me the contracts. Let's go ahead and start negotiating. I want it very clear what we can and can't do. Because it's their event. You know, you don't want to go and they say, hey, man, you can't do that. It says right here. And I go, yes, I can do that. It says right here. You know, a little, you know, extra line. You know, I added that when I signed it. I mean, whatever. We'll work it out. So do we take advantage of that? You know, we might. I'm thinking, you know, because we can... Before that, or 2 weekends before that, is our anti-war peace event that we're going to do here in Phoenix. So these opportunities come. There's a lot of, and it really is nothing other than they know to call me to think they can get some money out of me. I, you know, maybe. Is it worth it? You know, if I'm going to spend, I mean, it could easily be, depending on which package, anywhere from, you know, $3,000 up to $15,000, depending on, you know, how we're going to get the maximum out of whatever. Will it be worth it? I don't know. There might be some people that think, yeah, let's go. What if Dr. Paul's available? How many other great speakers might we pick? So I'm interested in this, but there's a lot of fear. On their side, you know, what happens when the libertarians invade? I don't know. What, they haven't already? I remember when WorldNet Daily first started. It was one of the first online kind of magazine newspapers. It was mid-90s, I think it was. It was in the 90s. And it was Mike Duggar was the state chair of the Libertarian Party here in Arizona at the time. He's a postal carrier in Phoenix. And I remember him putting that bumper sticker on. Look, Ernie, there's you can like publish on this website. It's kind of, and that was kind of when around that time we were thinking about, you know, Freedom's Phoenix. You know where that was coming from. You know what we're going to do there. And WorldNet Daily had an author that we respected a great deal. Her name was Claire Wolfe, and she wrote a book called 101 Things to Do Until the Revolution. And it was a very entertaining, quick read that was just basically, you know, here's a lot of things you can do to have fun because it's coming, you know. And I remember the quote that was the most infamous of that book. She goes, we're at an interesting time in history to where it's too late to work within the system, but it's too early to start shooting the bastards. And I'm like, wow, boy, that's a viral hit the internet phrase. It's too late to work within the system, but it's too early to start shooting the bastards. You know, are we closer to, you know, further away from working inside the system? You know, and I can understand the sentiment, but I don't see the benefit of starting to shoot the bastards. I mean, when they're breaking in your door and coming out, you know, this initiation of force thing, at what point is, you know, that's an individual decision. You know, you'll make that decision on your own. I suggest you get ready, you know, because, you know, Lord knows when it's going to happen. But if you have to resort to violence, I don't think you've been creative enough. And especially if they're inviting you into their little party. Okay. And I paid for it, and I got a contract. Well, we saturate. And you find overlap. You find, you know, where you might find more allies there than you think. You plant some seeds. But the one thing that I found at these events that I'm with these kinds of speakers and put up by these people, as I tell you, you're really overwhelmed with the older generation. They're really, really counting on senior citizens to be their, I don't know, meal ticket, their core constituency. Are they opening it up to the young? Are they in this? Are they available? Well, that's what we would do. Is that what they want? Have they experienced the Lovevolution over the last few years that they would even allow me to go? Well, there's a reason for our activism and the way we do it this way. I'm going to share that with you when we come back, and you'll see why they might just not want us to go. We'll be right back.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Less conversation, more action, please. All this aggravation is satisfaction in me. Little more fine, a little less fun. Little less mad, a little more smart. Close your mouth and open up your heart. And maybe satisfy me. Satisfy me, baby.
Yeah, a little less conversation, a little more action, please, says the king. Elvis Presley in a remix. You know, one thing that I wanted to make sure that we had this conversation, because there's a lot of things that are changing really rapidly right now. And we're going to be asking ourselves and asked of by our children or grandchildren, you know, where are you, Daddy? I'm going to feel pretty comfortable about saying I wasn't sitting on my hands, but we all got responsibilities. I mean, a lot of the times you have a responsibility just to, you know, stay fed, a responsibility to keep a house over your head, a roof of some kind, got a tent, got chickens. You know, these are simple things. You got provide for yourself. We talk about, you know, precious metals, and you should, you know, diversify from and get into and out of. And I'm going, yeah, that's all very interesting. Right after you bought a bunch of food, we just need to survive this thing. But what I've seen over the last couple of months, even as we, you know, spiral down in this thing, that I've seen even Libertarian Party officers and so on that have been, yeah, but if we get too controversial, if we do, we're not, you know, I'm going, wow, that's where we shine. That's where these young revolutionaries shine. When it counts the most, they're challenging the man the most when they're the most aggressive, when they are the worst, when they shining up their jack boots, getting ready to do some butt whipping. You know, a lot of people, young people, don't remember that it didn't used to be that you had these riot police and these no name tags, no badges, no ID numbers, no, heck, you don't even know what office they're from. They have officers coming in to protect the elite in their little meetings and so on. They come from all over. Overtime pay of officers from surrounding communities just to come in, give me my paycheck so I can stand there and bang my baton on my shield. This is wow. And think about it. They're all just wearing black with helmets and face shields and so on. You know, did they take the one guy from some little 5,000 population town that came in to get his overtime and put on his black suit? Is he the guy going out there bonking some kid on the head? Or is that guy planted? And they all get painted that way. I don't know. I know that it's not good. So what's the attitude that you take? You know, there was the eye of the tiger. You know, you set your teeth and let's go once more through the ramparts. I mean, we hear all these battle euphemisms. Is there another way? Is there, you know, the technique of passive resistance? Are we putting daisies in gun barrels? Hopefully they won't blow our head off or hand off while we do it. You know, are we just being, you know, pointing out to them and everybody how bad they are? How do you do that? How do you turn enemies into friends? How do you have them respect your position and without being violent but being insistent? How? Well, the following aphorisms are the work of libertarian novelist L. Neil Smith. They've been the bedrock for libertarian activism in Arizona for the past 15 years and are the best explanation I can provide for the tactics of our past and future. Now let's go over them. Never soft pedal the truth. It's seldom self-evident and almost never sells itself because there's less sales resistance to a glib and comforting lie. I give you election cycles. A lot of people, they vote for people because they like them. They feel good about them. Entire industries are created around how you react emotionally to someone's face, their clothes, how they do their makeup, their hair, what they say, how they say it. You know, so this is, it's, if you can get people to vote for style over substance, well, you're looking for the person that has the style. Who do you put up against, you know, Barack Obama? Are you going to put up someone like, you know, Republicans? How would it have been if they nominated Ron Paul? You know, would that have been the way to go? Would you have had, you know, a real debate there and so on? Oh, no. Let's go with this style over substance mentality and let's put up John McCain. What, they do that on purpose? Seriously? Inconsistencies and all? A lot of times I see this stuff and it's so on purpose. Maybe the balance was Palin. But those of us that knew the history and the rhetoric and the voting record and so on of John McCain here in Arizona, we were wow. But we knew back when I was running against him in 2004 that you know, he was going to be a presidential pick for these guys forever. You know, he played the game. They wanted to, you know, he's at least going to be up there running and getting whatever it is out. So I always look for something deeper. I want to sell the truth. Never soft pedal the truth, regardless of what it is. You know, 9/11. Did we get the truth from the government? 9/11 Commission report didn't even mention Building 7. You know, what about all the molten steel? I mean, right when that first came out, we were just like, what is this? And then the guys that authored it, the congressman that worked on the committee, they came out and wrote a book. You know, hey, it wasn't us, man. We didn't do it. They're definitely wanting to get out of the Nuremberg trials, man. Heck no. That's never reported. I mean, we have them on, we talk about it and so on, but you know, a lot of people don't want the truth. It's seldom self-evident, almost never sells itself. Because why? Because there's less sales resistance to a glib and comforting lie. So you're always going to get the lies first. And nobody ever asks why anymore. When I first started radio in February of 2003, it was because a lot of libertarians, or I just sold my restaurant, and they wanted me to get on the air and give the libertarian perspective on a lot of things at the time because we were getting ready to go to war. And we needed somebody to be, you know, give a principle, you know, just inject some kind of base philosophy that's what the proper role of government is. Let me think. It's not going around killing people. Certainly Iraq, that had nothing to do with 9/11. We knew that. In fact, they admit it later. That was not the point. Helen Thomas is a White House correspondent, been around since forever. She goes, I remember when she was banned. They had her come back later, but I remember when she, you know, because there was such an uproar, they put her back on the correspondence pool. But she goes, look, we didn't go because of weapons of mass destruction. That one, you admitted that. We didn't go because of anything to do with 9/11. You admitted that. We didn't have anything to do with, he was enemy of Osama anyway. It wasn't because of that. She goes, so tell me, why did we go to war in Iraq? And they go, you know what? You're not allowed to be in the pool anymore. And then a big thing, and she came back. But I can see this. Who's telling the truth? And if you're going to do it, man, you got to go big. Got to go loud, because it doesn't sell itself. That's what that means. Understand from the minute the fight begins that you're going to take damage. Accept it. You'll always suffer more from the idiots and cowards on your own side than from any enemy. Keep your overall goal in mind above all. Those who swerve to avoid a few cuts and bruises defeat themselves. You need to know from right from the beginning that you're going to take. If you're not taking flack, you're not over the target. They're going, oh, the newspaper editorial, oh, they said bad things about you. I go, did they spell my name right? I don't care. You know, this is, well, of course they did. Who do you think I'm against? You know, Mark Victor is a criminal defense attorney, a good friend of mine, and he and I are partners on the Freedom Summit. And I remember one time I asked him, who's the prosecutor on one of the cases he was working on? I go, who's the prosecutor? Who are you going up against? He goes, you know, prosecutor, what's his name, and judge, what you call it? I go, what? He goes, yeah. You know, seriously, you think I'm just against the defense, the prosecuting attorney? He goes, heck, man, I try my cases not just against the prosecuting attorney. It's against the government, including the judge. You know, the judge is part of the system. It's stacked heavily against, you know, the fact that you were charged, man. You're going down. Oh, my goodness, you're bringing this to trial and making us actually spend money instead of taking a plea deal? Ooh, man, you better have it all going on because, man, that's who you're up against, both of them, the bench and the table beside you. You have to understand that you're going to suffer more from the people that are weak, that say they're on your side. You got to be able to insulate. Don't depend on other people or even groups, especially groups. Depend on yourself. Look to yourself. Make a decision early on. Know what your overall goal is and know you're going to take some cuts and bruises. Because if you work to avoid the cuts and bruises, you already lost before you started. You have to eliminate the fear and know you're going to take some damage. You just want to be fully informed so you minimize it. I'll talk about this more when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, and I imagine you want to change your world too for the better, as opposed to the worse. I'm vote for better. You know, that's what I want to do. How do you do that? That's what we're going to talk about today. A lot of these things are just second nature for a lot of us here, and I wanted to share with you and get this in the archives so that you can understand why we're successful here. I mean, there's a technique, there's a method, there's personality, and it's not just one individual. You know, it's a whole movement. You know, there's a lot of people that have embraced this just by experience and not even being able to articulate it. Well, I'm going to try articulate it to you because I'll tell you where this came from. It was 1994. There was a speech that was given by L. Neil Smith at the Salt Lake City National Libertarian Party Convention. And we got a copy of that speech, and we were reading it. And we just kept passing it around and everything. And it was all hardcore libertarian. It was just music to our ears. And in there, there was one line that just really summed it up. Yeah, these Nerf libertarians with their foam core platform. And when he was saying that, we knew exactly what he meant. Nerf libertarians, a squishy kind of thing with a platform just kind of malleable. This kind of, you know, I mean, they're not being hardcore enough, which was the point that he was making in his presentation. This one saying right here is my favorite. This is the one that had the biggest impact on me and really directed a lot of the stuff that we do. If you're not a little bit uncomfortable with your position, it isn't radical enough. How can you be too principled? Take the most extreme position you can. You're claiming territory you won't have to fight for later, mostly against your allies. I'll read that again and I'll explain it. If you're not at least a little bit uncomfortable with your position, it isn't radical enough. How can you be too principled? Take the most extreme position you can. You're claiming territory you won't have to fight for later, mostly against your allies. I'll give you an example. Right at the time that we got it, we even started this right before this, and this just reaffirmed what we were doing. We wanted to raise money for our first workshop that we had back in 94. So in the late December 93, I was elected county chairman. I said, yeah, this is what we're going to do. We're going to challenge the cult, man. Let's go after it. So what we'll do is we need to raise money. Well, one of the guys, it was Mike Duggar, as a matter of fact, he came up with the idea. He goes, you know, we should do a gun raffle. Well, keep in mind, this is in the middle of all the anti-militia thing. Ooh, the militia. Got to get them damn militia. You know, the same kind of stuff they've been trying to ramp up, you know, all kinds of concerns now. But at the time, we're going, all right, well, what's the laws? You started checking and so on. All right, we found that we could raffle off. I mean, you know, they kind of will raffles and where you put them. Whatever. We ignored. They want to come after us for that. Fine. We just want to know how we're going to transfer a weapon. So they have to, you know, they win. Okay, they have to go down. We paid for it. It's sitting there. It's a prize. And they go and they fill out their FFL stuff and they get it from the gun shop that we had purchased the firearms at. And what we had was an AR-15, you know, a pistol grip, black detachable magazine, you know, ugly assault rifle, they were saying. It's a semi-automatic, but, you know, semantics. So what we did is we had an AR-15 as the number one first prize. Second was a MAC-90, which is kind of a semi-automatic AK-47. Then you had the SKS, which uses the same round as an AK-47. It's the one that the Vietnamese used, and you could get them for, at the time, I remember you could buy them five at a time for $69 a piece. I mean, they were like Vietnam surplus, you know? So this was Chinese and Russian built. So we were learning about it. A lot of us didn't. I didn't even have a firearm at the time, but I understood the importance of it. Heck, I even had the initiative for unrestricted concealed carry initiative on the ballot. We started SAFE. Second Amendment is for everyone. I'm listed in the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, a gun group and all this kind of stuff. What they didn't know, I didn't even own a gun. It wasn't about that. It was about freedom. You know, my father had plenty when I went camping. If I needed one or something, I'd go over and pick one of his. You know, I just didn't need it. I was poor. I didn't, you know, finally one of my friends gave me an old Makarov. You know, it's a 9mm wish I was a gun from Russia. They were selling them for like $100 at the time. And he got me one. We'd go in different protests because he was embarrassed to be around me. So, man, you don't even have a gun? Here, take this one. Dang, you're killing me. So I'm like, okay, you know, right on. So we decided that we're going to do a gun raffle. Oh, that was extreme at the time. When we did that, we had the drawing was April 15th. I mean, it's all symbolism. So we did the gun raffle, raising money. You probably raised over $10,000. Got us going on a workshop and all that kind of stuff. Rented the place. Got it all worked out. Man, we're styling. And we had the raffle drawing on April 15th, tax day, on the steps of the main post office downtown. While people come up, pay their taxes, we had a big 4x8 sheet of plywood that had the firearms actually wired to the plywood. It had three of the guns that were just had up there. Get your raffle ticket right here. Step right up. So we were on the sidewalk. We were legal. You know, that's when I first met my confrontation prevention squad guys. No, that was the second time. First time they, you know, that's another story. But so what happened was we're there and they're worried, this is going to get out of hand, but it was legal. Who drew the winner? Sheriff Richard Mack. He was sheriff of Graham County in southeastern Arizona at the time. I've known Richard a long time. So he was I'll draw the winner. Who drew second place? Frances Barwood. She was a city councilwoman for the city of Phoenix. Who drew the third prize? You know, Mike Duggar, he came up with it. He gets to have, you know, some airtime. So they go up and they drew this and all right, and you win. I don't even remember who won. Doesn't matter. But they had all the press down there. Oh, man, you got the television news. They're zooming in. Don't you think that by doing your incur blah, 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 blah? No. Well, then why are you? And you get in, you get to say your piece. And if you're experienced and you know what they're trying to do, you talk about the principles that you're espousing. And if that's all you say, that's all they get to print. Well, that's what happened. We knew it was going to happen. If you're not a little uncomfortable with your position, it isn't radical enough. Got to make a point. How can you be too principled? That's what we were advocating, principle. Did it scare the horses? Yeah, absolutely. So get you the news. What happened at that time is that the National Libertarian Party was telling the local affiliates, they were saying, look, don't run in partisan, run in nonpartisan races at a city level. You know, go be dog catcher or something first. Don't talk about the drug war. Don't talk about gun rights. You know, don't be controversial. This was their suggestions. This is what was going. We're like, oh, heck no. We had already known before then that, no, that doesn't work. You know, we got to stake a claim. After this event, it became, especially when you got, you know, Sheriff Mack, that was challenging the Brady Bill at the time, went to the Supreme Court and he won. He had a rights Second Amendment advocate and a city councilwoman there. This gave us enormous standing with the Second Amendment people. All the gun rights advocates, they were going, man, them libertarians, they'd be serious. So what else does it say here? You're claiming territory you won't have to fight for later, mostly against your allies. Who's on the other side? The NRA. National Rifle Association, they're always wanting some kind of gun legislation so that they can rally the troops against it, give us money so we can fight this thing. That heck, behind the scenes, they were part responsible for writing. I can't, well, don't even get me started on that. You think you got, oh, NRA would never, oh, the heck they don't. Constantly. I am so sick. The NRA doesn't mess around in Arizona. They don't lobby here. They don't come, nothing. Because, man, every time they do, man, we are on their case. What did they do? Wow, we, you know, can't let that go. We're going to have a raffle. They do a six-gun and a lever-action, you know, 30-30. Ooh, there's freedom. So if you take an extreme position, you're claiming territory you won't have to fight for later, mostly against your allies. So what we did is we went all the way up against the wall. I mean, we didn't have belt-fed 50 calibers or anything, but, I mean, you know, at the time, an AR-15, man, that was, ooh, it's 94 on tax day with the sheriff drawing the winner. Start to see the picture? Lots of press. Made a big point. With who? Now the press, of course, they're saying, oh, the crazy, crazy people, crazy. All crazy, crazy people. Now, so when they make a big deal out of the fact that we got a young black man with an AR-15 and Obama comes to speak here in Arizona, we're like, that ain't nothing, man. Where you been last 15 years? You're always doing this kind of stuff here. Politicians, they want to come speak that are safe events that we have. Second Amendment is for everyone. We have a safe events. They line up. Man, you're an election year. There is not a single Republican that want to come talk to tell you how Second Amendment they are. And they're always lying. So what did we do? All right. You want to talk to us? You have to have a color photograph of you taken holding a black pistol grip detachable magazine firearm. You don't do that, you don't get to talk. Well, that's the deal, man. That is the freaking deal. Are you gonna come out and hold the gun, get your picture taken? Then you can say whatever you want, whether we believe you or not. But if you're not willing to have your picture taken with that, how are we going to think that you're going to defend our rights, you know, for us to have them? Oh, they wouldn't do it until like 04, man. Then they line it up. Yeah, give me that 50 cal. Because it's expected now. We claim territory. Change minds. Free minds. Set a new standard. We'll talk more about it and other techniques when we come back.